Carol, my colleague and friend, and I were on Sand Lake in Cashin in early October. We were part of a team visiting 18 lakes in three lakes to do some water sampling to follow up on a 30-year-old study of acid rain in the North Woods. We paddled out onto Sand Lake on a picture-perfect fall day. We took water quality measurements and collected water to bring back to the lab for analysis. Back on shore, we thought it would be more efficient if we carried the canoe, full of gear and water, back to the car instead of making two trips. We didn't even take two steps before we realized it was much too heavy, and we set it down. We bent over, picked up all the gear out of the canoe, and headed for the truck. As we turned to retrieve the canoe, Carol yelled, "Oh no!" Our canoe, no longer weighted with the water and gear, was drifting out from shore for another trip around the lake, all by itself. "What should we do?" Carol yelled. "Should I swim for it?" Now, I should mention that Carol is a champion swimmer, having swum 50 miles last summer, and it was still pretty warm. I thought it better to commandeer an absent lakeshore owner's boat to retrieve it, but she was willing, so I said, "Well, if you're going to do it, go do it now before it's any further away." She almost made it to the boat without having to actually swim, but in the end, she had to lunge for the boat and ferry it back to shore. Laughing at ourselves for such a newbie mistake, we went on to our next lake. Why were we studying acid rain? You might think acid rain was the science scare of the 80s, long since put to rest as another seeming apocalyptic but unfounded fear. Actually, the danger was real, and Trout Lake Station, where I work, played an important role in unraveling the science. Acid rain is the phenomenon where sulfur is released as a gas when burning fossil fuels. It reacts with other gases in the atmosphere to produce sulfuric acid, like the acid in your car battery. That acid comes back to Earth when it rains, affecting lakes, forests, and other materials like concrete and metal. Some lakes have natural buffering chemicals that make them more resistant, kind of like having a giant Alka-Seltzer ready to neutralize the acid rain. However, many lakes, especially in the North Woods and almost all of our seepage lakes, have very little chemical resistance to acid rain. In the 1980s, scientists at Trout Lake Station divided Little Rock Lake in half using a plastic curtain to learn how small changes in acidity might affect our lakes. One half of the lake was left alone as a control, and we gradually added small doses of sulfuric acid to the other half to simulate a sped-up acid rain deposition scenario. Over the course of a 6-year experiment, the acidified side of the lake suffered a number of fates. Poor fish recruitment, odd algal blooms, strange changes to the zooplankton, and increases in mercury contamination. But that's a story for another day. In part because of the results of that experiment on Little Rock Lake, Wisconsin passed the 1986 acid rain bill, and Congress amended the Federal Clean Air Act in 1991 to limit the chemicals released from coal-fired power plant smokestacks so they wouldn't release too much of the acid rain-generating chemicals. In the end, those regulations worked, reducing sulfur emissions enough to decrease the acidity of rain in northern Wisconsin. The Wisconsin DNR measures acid rain deposition at a monitoring station across the lake from our lab on Trout Lake. Data show that there's been a steady decline in acid rain over the past 2 decades. Around the same time as the Little Rock Lake experiment, there was a companion study measuring the effects of acid rain on many seepage lakes throughout the North Woods. On Carol's and my little misadventure, we were resampling those same lakes to see how environmental regulations have affected our lakes 30 years later. Right away, we learned that many of the lakes are now less acidic than they were back in the 80s and 90s, almost certainly because of those legislative acts. This is great news for the lakes and the world, and good evidence that science can help identify and solve problems and should inform our natural resource decisions. But if you are planning to go out and push back the frontiers of science, be sure to pull your canoe far enough up on shore so it doesn't drift away. For Field Notes, this is Susan Knight of UW-Madison's Trout Lake Station.